What's up, you guys? This is Lauren McLean. Media reports state that Keaton Slovis is injured and is not planning on playing this weekend. Jake Retzlaff will get his first start against West Virginia. We recorded this episode before the news came out, and we talked plenty about quarterbacks and the offense. I think fans have been clamoring for this, so we'll see what happens when BYU travels to Morgantown on Saturday. Make sure you listen to the rest of the episode with Brian Logan and Mitchell Juergens.
Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McLean.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McLean, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. For today's roundtable discussion, we have former Cougar wide receiver Mitchell Juergens. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, it's good to be here.
And former Cougar defensive back Bilo, back for the second week in a row.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on, you guys. Last week's 29-point loss to Texas was ugly, but not completely unexpected. However, the defense held the Longhorns on 2 fourth downs, moving forward to 5-3 West Virginia on the road for a night game in Morgantown in a battle of the underdogs. Okay, guys, it's time for our hot-off-the-grill hot takes about BYU football this week. Let's start with Brian.
BYU will play 2 quarterbacks.
Is that your hot take? Yeah. Do you actually think that's going to happen? After listening to all the stuff the coaches said this week.
I think so.
You think they'll do it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, I didn't think so until I read Dave McCann's article of him interviewing Coach Doman. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense when you put in that perspective, which is, you know, Keaton is a one and done type of player where, you know, you have a backup quarterback right now that you have an opportunity to get some playing time. And, you know, potentially this backup quarterback could be your starter for the next 2 years. So, yeah, we love Keaton. We want him to, you know, be in a position to play, you know, football at the next level. But at the end of the day, Key's not going to be here, you know. So it made a lot of sense of you know, getting Jake a little bit of, you know, getting his feet wet and getting some experience, because he'll still be able to redshirt as well. So
yeah, because there's only 4 games left and you can play 4 games.
And Lauren, don't listen to the coaches. That's media talk. They lie. They lie. Look, you have 2 times where you could lie. It's okay to lie. Like coaches speaking to the media and parents saying that Santa Claus is real. That's the only times you're able to lie.
That's good to know.
I concur.
Lessons by Bilo. What's your hot take, Mitch?
So I think my hot take is going to be that Ryan Rico is not the most valuable special teams player on BYU. Mm. And I'll explain. So the loss of Marcus McKenzie, we haven't had him the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's been a hit.
Yeah.
You go look at, I mentioned most valuable, not the best. I think Ryan Rico, I mean, everybody sees the leg that he has. He's an NFL punter in the making, just with how strong he is, how good at his job he is. However, BYU's starting to get hit, and they're starting to feel just how much it hurts to not have a guy like Marcus McKenzie in the lineup to go make the open field tackle when Rico boots it. 2 weeks in a row against, I mean, Texas Tech, they had a good returner, and they got a couple good returns. And then, obviously, the touchdown against Texas, they had a return touchdown. So I'm going to say that they've got to find, if Marcus McKenzie isn't ready to go and to, you know, fill in that spot, they've got to find the gunner or somebody on there that's going to make, you know, Ryan Rico doing his job so much more effective, because it can hurt you. So I think this season we've seen just the impact and how much value Marcus McKenzie brought to that mm-hmm. role, because special teams, I mean, all three phases, you've got to be sharp in all three to continue to dominate on the football field. And that's one of the areas where I think at BYU struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks, and you see the impact that Marcus McKenzie has. So I put Marcus as the most valuable player in that special teams role. Mm-hmm. And if he's not ready, then they've got to find the next guy that's going to come in and do the job. So that's my hot take.
I love it. And I think he does. He gives that spark that BYU needs. Everyone always talks about what's the next spark. You know, BYU needs a spark. And he really does. He's very athletic, but he also brings an energy
to the field. He was so much fun to watch on special teams. So he'd be amazing to have back, and I agree with you. If he's not there, someone else needs to fill in. Yep. My hot take is this game will be BYU's breakthrough game on offense. I know they're ranked 123rd on offense nationally. They can only go up from here, right? So the Cougars have yet.
I guess you could go down seven, can't you?
Yeah. The Cougars have yet to lose back-to-back games this season. They lose, then find a way to get it done the next game. But they have lost every game on the road. So I think West Virginia is a more relatable game for BYU. They're closer to the same level in talent. So I think BYU's defense and Ryan Rico and the special teams will give the offense lots of opportunities this game. And Keaton, the guys are going to capitalize on it. And Keaton hopefully will play the whole game and have a great game, and we'll see what happens.
Hopefully he doesn't, so I'll be right.
So your hot take actually happens.
Right.
All right, the fan question for this week is, how would you solve BYU's current offensive woes? Tackiner on X said, go full air raid. Help Keaton by mixing in more screens and short passes. 5 to 6 yard passes are perfectly good. Running up the middle on first down, taking a deep shot on second, and then facing third and long isn't working. Use short passes to set up the run, and then give Retzlaff a try. There's a whole lot in there.
He's with me.
There's a lot there. Are we commenting on
this? Yes, please. Okay.
I actually agree on this one. I wouldn't say completely abandon the run. However, I think you can reverse the script here. I don't think they should be, or the game plan should be, establish the run to then open up the passing lanes. Do that with your quarterback. Do that with Keaton's arm. And Keaton, I mean, we've seen it. He has a great arm. Mm-hmm. However, one of the issues has been the offensive line breaks down. They're not giving him enough time. And so in my mind, it's how can we get the ball, or how can these coaches get the ball out of Keaton's hand early so that he has time and we can make plays. I even go back to the last game against Texas, and there was a fourth down conversion. They went to the quick game. They went to a quick slant to Chase Roberts, converted it, and I mean, those types of plays are going to work. So I love the take on that. Get the ball out of Keaton's hand. Do a lot more quick games, some creative screens. Create kind of your potential rush attack with some short and intermediate pass game. And then who knows, if you start to, I mean, and who was it? TCU did it against us, against BYU. They threw for what, over 400 yards, and how many balls over the top did they complete? Not a lot of them.
Right.
Everything was short. Everything was intermediate, and I think that's what BYU needs to do. And if you do that, you could find yourself late in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, and rush lanes start to open. Then you become that balanced offense. That I agree with that take. I think if Keaton's going to be the guy, you can't rely on his legs to be the escape artist if things crash down, then get it out of his hands, and it's going to be quick game, it's going to be screens, and then you got to ask the receivers to step up and create early separation, because that's going to be, I think that can be a key to victory if they want to find one this next week.
Yeah. Well, you're on the sideline, so you have a really great, I mean, sometimes it's actually hard to see on the sideline, but you have a closer up view of what's going on, and you mentioned that the offensive line doesn't give him a lot of time. So lots of people are obviously saying, put in Jake Retzlaff, take out Keaton Slovis. But you mentioned the offensive line. Do you feel like the BYU coaches should give Keaton Slovis more time? Like, or would you like to see Jake Retzlaff come in?
I mean, it depends. And I think, because you can't point the finger completely at Keaton.
Yeah.
Yes, can he make better throws? Were there some throws there that he wasn't pressured and he missed and he airmailed it? Yes, there were those times, and Keaton's going to take that on himself. However, he's not the only problem on that offense right now. It is, and I think it stems from that offensive line. If you have a platform quarterback that's going to sit there and try and pick apart a defense, he can't do it if he's under pressure, and he has to use his legs when he doesn't have that. That's not his luxury. And so if the offensive line isn't going to improve, now I'm with Brian there. Like, I think you can, if nothing else is going to come together, then sure, let's throw in the running quarterback, because BYU may need an escape artist to extend plays, because right now that's not Keaton, but that's not the design of his game. But if the offensive line holds up, and I think you do, I think you come out against West Virginia, I'm sure that the offensive line is getting talking to pretty hard and say, hey, we got to do a better job for Keaton. If they can do that and Keaton has time, then I think Keaton can shine, but I think it depends on that offensive line group.
You know, I put a little bit more accountability on Keaton than the offensive line. It's a luxury to sit with Uncle B, you know, who played quarterback, and watching the games with him and how he breaks down the film. And there is a lot of different plays where, you know, Keaton just didn't get the ball out fast enough, right? So there's certain within route concepts, you know, traditionally, just to keep it generic, you'll have somebody high, medium, and low. And if those routes are taken away by the defense, you know, you can go ahead and hit the check down. You could hit, you know, a shorter intermediate route, even though it's not maybe the first read or the second read, right? But as a quarterback, knowing that, hey, the pressure, like I have pressure, my offensive line isn't that good, maybe I need to make those decisions a lot quicker. So there's times where he, you know, would drop back and the ball should have went out now. Instead, he would drop back and then try to make that throw. But you know, to your point, how the coaches can help is by calling quicker throws to where he doesn't have all those reads and all those progressions. He could just 1, 2, 3, bam, get it out, and that would help alleviate as well. But also think about, you know, Jake being a running quarterback, that could help with the actual running game, right? So having a running quarterback, now the defense has to account for an additional player. You know what I'm saying? So it's no longer 11 on, you know, 10. It's 11 on 11. So that would be another reason why I would bring him in.
Well, it's true. You look back at Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson, and I think they covered up a lot of the problems that could have been that Keaton Slovis just doesn't have the legs to do. Those were both mobile running quarterbacks. And I almost think that's almost essential in today's college landscape. You almost have to be a dual threat quarterback unless you have incredible tools, right?
Yeah.
Position groups. And so,
well, think about the pros. Like if you're not, the game is starting to change, right? And turn that way as well. You look at the quarterbacks,
Patrick Mahomes.
Look at all the quarterbacks that got drafted. More of the traditional quarterbacks, like a Tom Brady, who, you know, obviously is no longer playing, but those type of guys, what do? Get the ball out extremely fast, right? Yeah. So it's kind of either or. You don't have a lot of time nowadays with, 300-pound guys that run our speed.
Run 4.5s.
Right.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of Ziggy Ansahs. All right. Texas Colonel on X said, do a Jay Hill, but for the offenses instead of defense. Justin Park on X said, get to the line with no less than 18 seconds on the play clock and utilize the 5 to 10 yard passing game, kind of like you guys were saying. GC Bendixson on X said, get the ball out quickly, 2 or 3 step drop, 2 seconds max, throw over the middle, power run downhill, not side to side. Stop asking O-line to pull and run faster than they can effectively can. J-Day McHale.
That's a cool name.
JD McHale on IG said, short, quick passing game, use the middle of the field, then open it up for occasional plays from that. All right, guys, do you have any more takes on this, on what BYU needs to change offensively to make things better?
One additional thing, and you know, I watch the receivers a lot, obviously playing the position, and what I've noticed, we're 8 games in, and there's still a lot, and I don't know if you've seen this, Brian, too, but there's a lot of pre-snap confusion still, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's receivers, they're lining up on the wrong side, and you see another receiver signaling over, like, hey, you got to get to the other side. And I'm not sure what the breakdown is there, because it should be fairly simple. They throw up a formation, you know exactly where you're going based on the position that you're in. And so I don't know exactly what the problem is. However, it seems that before the snap even happens, there's still some either whether it's lack of confidence, I don't know exactly where I'm supposed to be on this route combination. And if you're playing with a little bit of lack of confidence or hesitancy, that's not going to fly at the Big 12 level
it's
at
over.
All, right?
Right.
And so before the play even kicks off, and we've seen that, right? Even last game, there was they got down to the goal line or within the 10-yard line, and I think it was Keelan Marion was running a jet sweep. He runs into the running back, turns into be a loss. And those types of things, I just don't know. That stuff can't happen at week 8. Blunders in in communication, in alignment, in assignment. And so that's one thing. And I think collectively as a group, one of the mentions there was, you know, you got to get up to the ball with eight, you know, or get out of the huddle within 18 seconds or whatever it is, 18 seconds left on the play clock. There needs to be more, I think, unison as far as breaking the huddle. Everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing, because if you do that, you're going to play with a level of confidence that that you can see and then therefore be successful, go make plays. Because if you're not confident, and it seems that there still is a little bit of hesitancy there, not sure what the issue is, but they got to fix that.
Well, yeah. You also, I mean, from a receiver's perspective, if you're lined up, you know, fast enough, and you know, you're looking at your pre-snap reads, right? I mean, that's you're able to say, okay, safety's here, corner's here, linebacker's here. This is where I'm going to be able to run, you know, based off of, you know, their alignment. So I agree with you there. You know, something that Austin Collie said, which was really, you know, eye-opening for me, was when he played, he was like, I didn't rotate a lot. Yeah. So he thinks, you know, guys that are, because the guys are rotating a lot, they're not getting into a rhythm, right? And I think what you just said maybe the cause of that as well. If I'm not getting a lot of reps, and it's like quality reps, which are game reps, you know, I may not know, or let's say I rotate in and I go, oh shoot, I've only ran this play twice. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like I could see that potentially happening. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that could be the case. And something that I've been noticing is, and I think the receivers are rotating positions within the receiver group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I played, I was an H receiver, but that's all I played.
Yeah.
And so if somebody came in for me, they came into the H. When I came back in, I was the H receiver. There's a Z, there's an X, there's a Y, there's an F. And if I'm going from Z to X to F to H to back to F to Z, I may get confused because, again, the way that you line up, the way the route combination works, am I inside, am I outside, all that can get confusing. Where if I'm rotating, and again, I it looks like that's happening just based on how many people are rotating and the different positions I've seen them in. If that's the case, then maybe you have to dial that back. Get, hey, you're going to be the set X, you're going to be the set Z, you're going to be the set Y. If we pull you out, you're coming back into that position. So then it's easier to digest the playbook, the route combinations, and you're not going to see as many issues with those pre-snap confusions or on-field confusions or miscommunications, because it has been happening for 8 weeks now.
Even like during the game. So when I play, I don't ever remember guarding more than three receivers, ever, like during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we play field and boundaries, so I'm always on the strong side. So typically, right, like who, like there's obviously things can change, but typically, you know, those sets of receivers I'm going to be facing the same the entire time. So by the time it was the middle of the first quarter, I would go back to, you know, Andrew Ridge, our strong safety. I'm like, yo, when this dude lines up here, this is going to happen. Or I would like get back on the sideline. I'm like, oh, he's way slower than what I thought on film, right? like there's little nuances that you're able to pick up when you're in the game and you get that rhythm. And yeah, it doesn't, I mean, Chase looks like he's, I mean, Chase is probably different. He's game ready. But all the other guys, they don't seem like to be in like a good, you know, flow. So I don't know if that's just like the philosophy of the offense, but I think that's one major thing that they're that the players are missing out on, is being able to pick up on those little nuances to help them to win those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah. And Chase Robertson, Isaac Rex have kind of been, they have the most reps out of all of the receivers, right? So they're going to know their assignments a little better. But it sounds like you guys are saying discipline, and hopefully let the guys know, have one assignment and do that assignment, get it done. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but watching as a fan, it seems BYU isn't throwing and making catches to get the first down often. I see a lot of side-to-side and deep balls, and I think it'd be nice to see them, well, you talked about quick throws to the line, and then that opens up the run game a little bit, right? So is that something that you're seeing? They're not quite getting to the first down. They're either going deep or they're going to the side.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of the side-to-side action. That sticks out to me most. I know coordinators at times, even, you know, play callers, it can be dangerous to throw between the hashes, to go over the middle of the field.
Yeah.
However, it's needed, and that's going to be something that's going to, I mean, that's where Isaac Rex, he's one of the best playmakers on the BYU offense. He hasn't gotten as involved, but I think about, you know, you got a big, tall 6'5", what is he, 6'5", 6'6", tall frame that's running down the middle of the field. That's hard to beat.
Right.
And if you can start to do that, it's going to open up a lot of different lanes. But I know at times, whether it's play calling, even quarterback, if Keaton Slovis is feeling a little bit hesitant, it's easier to make that throw out to the boundary than it is over the middle when you have no idea if people are going to jump the route, get tipped, and then it's going to be a pick, which you're more likely to do over the middle of the field. But, you know, you've got to be confident to make those throws, especially if you want to play at the next level, right? You can't just rely on the boundary or the sidelines, and that's going to get picked apart. And
right.
So, I agree. I think they need to go to the middle a lot more, find out ways, do some mesh concepts to create some confusion for the defense. I'd love to see a little bit more of that.
I think this is where the lack of running game hurts you, because if you have a good running game, the linebackers, you know, they respect it, so they're sucking up, right? They're taking a couple of steps, you know, ahead of them, which is going to give you a little bit more space, you know, over the middle. But if you don't have a running game, and what I mean by this is, if it's 3rd and 9, linebackers aren't, you know, they're not biting up on a play action at all. They're going to drop back, and they're probably going to drop back a little bit deeper than they normally would and stay at the sticks. So a lot of those over the middle throws are automatically taken away when you put yourself in 3rd and long situations. So, you know, if it's 3rd and 3, you know, possibly 3rd and 4, but more so if you're in a 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4 situation, and now, and I'm a linebacker, now you put me in a bind. Like, are you running it or are you passing it? But as a linebacker, I don't really care about my job. Number one job is I'm run, right? My first two steps, my read steps are going to be run. So I have to respect that first and foremost. So if I have to respect that and it's a play action, well, I've given you a little bit more space to make those throws.
Yeah, it makes sense. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to play buy or sell. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McLean alongside Mitch Juergens and Brian Logan. Okay, guys, we're going to play buy or sell. And the first one is Jake Retzlaff deserves a shot with the offense. BYU's social media numbers, number one topic during last week's Texas loss was whether or not BYU should look towards the future and play Retzlaff or keep it rolling with Slovis. B-Low, you buying it or selling it?
Yeah, you already know I'm buying like 3 of them. Yeah, I'm buying. Yeah.
What about you?
I'm buying.
Okay.
I'm buying, and maybe I'm just a little pessimistic about, you know, seeing the offensive line improve, and if it's not going to happen and Keaton finds himself in the same situations, I want to see a guy get out there and you know, throw a wrinkle and see what happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm buying it too. I'm not saying bench Slovis for the season, but I'm saying when the game is in hand or out of hand, let the guy get some snaps and see what he can do. And I totally understand Kalani's post-game comments last week where he's like, hey, it's not just Keaton. It's, you know, because that's exactly what the media was asking him. Like, so why didn't you put in Jake Retzlaff? You know, so I understand that you got to give the guy confidence, because if you take him out, you're taking some of Keaton's confidence away. But I feel like in certain situations, it's okay to give the second string some time and see what he can do. All right. Number two is when everyone is healthy, Miles Davis should be RB2. So for context, Miles Davis is currently averaging 5.1 yards per carry off of 15 attempts and 3 games played. LJ Martin currently averaging 4.6 off of 438 yards. And Aiden Robbins is currently averaging 3.1 yards per carry on 43 attempts. Mitch, are you buying it or selling it that Miles Davis should be RB2?
That's a good one, huh?
That is a good one. And you mentioned when fully healthy,
when everyone's healthy. Yep.
I'm going to say sell.
Okay.
I think I'm high on LJ Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's proven, you know, and running even behind not a productive line. I think he's done some pretty good things. I'd like to see him get a little bit more, take those outside runs with a little bit more speed.
Yeah.
But he's physical. He's fast. He can do a lot. And I've been pleased. I'm not convinced that Aiden Robbins is healthy yet. Yeah. Going back, I don't like to live in the past, but he had a 1,000-yard season last year at UNLV. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if he's not all the way healthy, I want to say I've stood next to him. He is a massive human being. Mm-hmm. And I just, picture trying to tackle him, and that's dangerous. And so if he's healthy, I think I'm still taking him as the two. But that's a good question.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You buying or selling below?
I'm going to wait till it goes on sale. And then, and then I'm going to buy it.
That's a different game.
Yeah. It's a hard question because I don't feel like the skill set of Miles Davis really complements the offense and how A-Rod wants to run the offense. But there are plays for him, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. That's why the stats say that. So I think that why I say I'm waiting until it goes on sale is that I would like to see A-Rod incorporate him a lot more into the offense, into play calls that suit his skill set, which is getting in open space, getting around the edges. I don't know what his hands looks like, but I would put him in slot, have him do some bubble screens. We talk about quick game. I'd put him in a slot, have him run a quick slant, just get him into open field. Open space where he can, be one-on-one with defenders. And I like him over on linebacker, like one-on-one, like that's not fair. Right.
Yeah.
So being able to be creative in those type of ways, I think would also help supplement the running game as well.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm selling it, but I want to use him.
Right,
I want
right.
to use him a little bit more.
That's why you just got to wait till it goes on sale.
Yeah, that's right. It was hard for me. I love Aiden's size, like you said, Mitch. And he had some breakout moments against Texas. LJ is so tough. Only a freshman. And he's just going to keep getting better and better. Like, he's the future of BYU football and the running backs.
I'm optimistic about LJ.
Sure.
Okay, our next one is BYU get their first Big 12 road win against West Virginia. BYU is a 10-point underdog against West Virginia. Both teams 5-3 this season. BYU has lost their Big 12 road games by an average of 24.3 points. West Virginia is 3-1 at home. The game is at night. B-Lo, you buying or selling?
Yeah, it's a night game. I'm buying.
Yeah.
I'm buying. So, BYU is 20-1 in their last night games. So... yeah, I mean,
so like, there it is.
I'm trying to come up with stuff that would, back up that answer, but I think that just did.
It's the night game for you.
Yeah.
What about you?
The fan in me wants to say buy. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go sell though. The way that I see this season ending for BYU, I see a 6-6 season, but I'm putting more confidence into the win the next week at home against Iowa State. That's at Lavelle's house, 8:15 kick, which has proven to be pretty brutal for opponents coming in. So I'm going to say sell on the West Virginia, but if you had a second part to that question, I'm taking buy on the Iowa State.
On the Iowa State.
On the Iowa State game. So
why do you sell West Virginia specifically? Obviously, they are doing a whole lot better than what they were projected to do, and they're a tough team, and they do have that underdog mentality that can work in their favor, but why do you think that?
They do. I think this team has competed. Their two losses came against... it was the Hail Mary loss against Houston. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. They were the Hail Mary loss against Houston, which was just a tough blow. You take that away, and they're 4-1. They're sitting atop the division. I just think this is a very physical team. I think it's hard to play up there. Yes, it's a night game. I'm all aboard the night train for this BYU team, but I think it's a little bit stronger at home. And going, traveling two time zones, it's been pretty difficult. I know that I want to say that the schedule, they're going to head out on Thursday, go out a couple days early, which I think will be helpful. But going two time zones, I'm not as optimistic.
You've played at West Virginia.
Yes.
And you actually caught a touchdown in that game, I believe.
Yep, FedEx Field.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it was at FedEx Field, so it wasn't in Morgantown.
No, but fun environment, and that's a tough team. They're physical, so yeah.
You lost. You guys even had Taysom Hill on that team.
We did.
You guys lost with Taysom.
I know.
It was tough.
That's yeah.
We won't remember that. But West Virginia fans probably do. All right, so you answered this already, Mitch, but our last buy or sell is BYU will finish the season with a winning record. Buy or sell B-Lo.
Yeah, I'm buying. I'm going to buy.
That means two more wins in the last four.
If you include the bowl game, right?
Well, yeah, you got to make a bowl game first.
Yeah, yeah. So with the bowl win, I'm buying with the bowl win. So if you add that on, I'll buy that sure.
So you're selling it, Mitch.
Well, if we include the bowl game, I'm going buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to. Kalani's. He's been successful in bowl games.
Yeah.
He's played. He's 4-2 in bowl games. He's he can win it. So if they can find a way to get one more, finish the season 6-6, I'm going all in on a winning.
And this should be. I mean, I don't know how everything plays out, but this should be something new, right? Like a new bowl game for BYU versus being an independent, where you guys, you know,
it was almost pre-contracted.
Yeah. Right. So I think. Having a new environment and even playing like a bigger brand, right? Mm-hmm. School, like brand name. I think BYU would get up for that for sure.
Yeah, I'm buying it. I think not only do they play well at night, BYU, they haven't lost two in a row, so I think that's big. I think they find ways to win, and it's ugly. It does not look good, but somehow I believe in the defense, man. The defense gave BYU every opportunity to at least stay in the game at Texas, and I think what? Why are you laughing?
Because when you said they win and they win ugly, I was like, that's called defense.
It's true. No, it is true. The defense has been fantastic. I love what Jay Hill's done. They haven't been perfect, obviously, but I think they've done really well.
I feel
well
like they kind of have been perfect. I feel like it.
Do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, think about last game. You gave up seven. The defense gave up 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
Literally gave up 7 points from start to finish, like a drive, an actual drive. You know, a kickoff and then Texas offense driving down. That gave up 7 points. You know, three of the touchdowns were off of turnovers, right? So you have shorter fields. And then one was a punt return.
Yeah.
And you had two goal line stops. Like, so you had three turnovers. Us as defense, even though they don't say this on the stats, we count turnover on downs an actual turnover.
Yeah.
I mean, it has it in the name. Like, that's turnover. Turnover on downs. I don't know why we don't count it. So if you calculate all that, that's five turnovers, five additional opportunities that this team, you know, gave to the offense. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of the you know, certain categories, I think TCU obviously, you know, gave us a beat down, but other than that, I feel like, you know, the offense really hasn't helped out too much, and the defense has you know, come back. So, yeah, look, we don't get a lot of opportunities to give, you know, love to the defense. So I'm just, you know, I'm putting that out there.
No, I love it. They've been incredible. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome content. I learned so much. And that does it for us today. Thanks again to Mitch Juergens and Brian Logan for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Cleon Wall. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.